From KMXT and Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes. No matter what kind of boat you have, it probably has wires. It might be a 12-volt battery hooked to a jigging machine, or it might be a complex electrical system. Either way, it's wires and electricity in a corrosive marine environment. To get a few tips, I sat down on the telephone with Art Schultz, owner and operator of Future Electric. He has just spent the last couple of months doing electrical work on boats, so I had to ask him. What are the most common things that you see that make you hit your forehead?
A lack of circuit protection. People somehow think that positive power is a go, and they ignore the fact that if the positive power goes wrong, the positive power burns very easily. The majority of boat fires worldwide are caused by electrical systems. You know, a lot of people like to just find a positive power source and daisy chain off of it. It's pretty ordinary in these do-it-yourself fishing installations. A simple fuse, if you buy them in bulk, they're 9 cents a piece or something like that, and they'll save you tens of thousands of dollars. A simple fuse in the right place. Never skimp.
I've heard that wire nuts are just fine for boat wiring.
If I am on board a vessel and I see a wire nut, I pick it up and I throw it away. I don't ask.
Well, even if it's attached to a wire?
Oh yes. I'll cut it off and throw it away.
Okay, so what should people be using in lieu of wire nuts? What if you are in that position where I have to put two pieces of wire together? I have to do it right now. What should I be doing?
You should have a crimping tool and a couple of butt splices with you.
I don't know if I can put that on the radio.
Well, there are worse things you can splice. It's pretty common to carry a crimping tool and a couple of little splice connectors. This is not asking a lot of anybody. So the effort you put into getting the wire nut could just as easily be put into buying the correct part.
Okay, what's the most dangerous thing about boat electrical systems that no one knows about?
AC current going through fresh water is very dangerous to humans. It diffuses through salt water because salt water is so much more electrically conductive. But fresh water is not very conductive at all. And so as you swim by a boat that's improperly grounded, that AC power actually uses your body as a shorting path. So the boat that will have no problem at all living over in Dog Bay and plugged into shore power, when it goes to a freshwater river in the lower 48, goes into Lake Union or up the Aquina River, up above Newport, that boat can suddenly kill someone unaware in the water beside the boat.
And what would be wrong with this electrical system that would allow that? Just a bad...
Mixing the neutral and the ground inside the boat. Even though it seems like a good idea, it's not. In fact, that's the subtlety of it. The device will work just fine, whether you put the white or the green on the grounding bar, or if you put the green on the white bar or whatever, whichever way you want to mix and match. And it all seems fine as you sit here, but it will kill that diver that gets under your boat in Oregon. This is actually a large problem in freshwater marinas anywhere. In freshwater lakes, if you want to go to Lake Chelan, you may face this problem. Pontoon boats in Arkansas, that sort of thing. Right. That's really a much greater electrical hazard than we're going to see here in our saltwater harbor.
I then asked him what products he prefers. This really set him off.
Deoxit D5. Deoxit is the brand. D5 is the stuff coming out of the can. It's an almost invisible coating that is extremely adhesive to exposed metal. Spray it on everything. It's 5% of this mystery red liquid that acts like a miracle cure for corrosion issues. Exposed wiring, exposed terminal strips, anything like that, fuse blocks, you can spray it on any electrical device. And it's quite spendy, and it's worth every penny. It's great stuff. You can't buy it in Kodiak, can't buy it in Bristol Bay, and I've been pushing against a brick wall to get people to stock it locally. Now, you want to know what you should never use on an electrical system? Absolutely stop using electrical tape. Half of my business is involved in things that are caused by electrical tape. Stop putting electrical tape on wires. Electrical tape actually causes corrosion.
But the name.
Oh, I know. I know. Yeah. Well, electrical tape is not waterproof.
No.
And so water often gets trapped underneath a big wrap of electrical tape, and then it never dries out. There's actually more corrosion beneath well-wrapped electrical tape connections than there is without the electrical tape. I see this almost every time I climb in a boat. The other thing electrical tape is not, it is not petroleum resistant.
I've seen that.
And, oh, in an engine room, it ends up being the nastiest, blackest, gunkiest mess. I mean, I've gone through a pint of Gojo before trying to fight with the stuff to get into something and then cleaning the black goo back off my hands. So why? Why? It causes so many more problems than it solves. Just stop using it. The second thing I throw away right after I've thrown all the wire nuts away is I'll turn around and start throwing the rolls of black tape away. And it's been pointed out that they also use it on fishing gear. Okay.
Yes.
Use it on fishing gear. It's now fishing tape. It's no longer electrical tape. Start calling it fishing tape.
A lot of people use corrosion block. Is that good? What about WD-40? I use corrosion X.
All of those work at their main goal of covering up exposed pieces of metal. Where you go wrong is you apply them to the exposed pieces of metal, and then you put the two pieces of metal together. Like, for example, very small electrical connectors on engines or fine electronics. If there's a very small current and a low electrical potential, something like corrosion block can actually block some of those signals. You're much better off installing something and then spraying over the top of it so that you have a good, solid metal-to-metal contact covered with a protective layer.
And then cover it with electrical tape.
If you insist. That will keep me in business.
Thank you, Art. That was Art Schultz, owner and operator of Future Electric, and so much more.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. For more information, call 1-907-235-4966 or online at alaskaboat.com.
A Coast Guard helicopter crew from Air Station Kodiak hoisted an injured fisherman from the 117-foot commercial fishing vessel Patricia Lee at about 11:50 p.m. Tuesday night. Weather at the time of the hoist included 40-mile-per-hour winds gusting to 55 and 14-foot seas. He was flown to Dutch Harbor and placed in the care of LifeMed personnel. The 17th District Command Center in Juneau received the request for the medevac from the Patricia Lee at about 4 p.m. on Tuesday. The master reported a crew member had sustained serious injuries to his pelvic region after becoming pinned by a crab pot on the fishing grounds about 225 miles west of Dutch Harbor. Command Center personnel directed the launch of the Air Station Kodiak helicopter crew from Cold Bay, while the Patricia Lee steamed toward Dutch Harbor. A Coast Guard C-130 Hercules aircraft crew and an additional MH-60 Jayhawk aircraft crew were launched from Air Station Kodiak to provide backup. Lieutenant Robert McConnell was Air Station Kodiak operations duty officer for the case. He said, quote, "Thanks to the cooperation among air crew members, the command center team, and the crew aboard the Patricia Lee, our Kodiak team was able to hoist and deliver this young individual to the higher level of care. Our crews routinely train for the treacherous Alaska night conditions they encountered. It feels good to see our team execute when someone's life is on the line."
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Matson, providing twice-weekly service to Alaska's Emerald Isle. Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund in recognition of the fishing industry, which provides over 58,000 Alaskan jobs from a renewable source.
Here are some statistics from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's weekly groundfish fishery summary for the Bering Sea, Aleutian Islands, and Gulf of Alaska. As of October 7, 2021, 1,696 metric tons, or 69% of the midwater pollock target prohibited species catch limit of 2,472 metric tons for herring in the Bering Sea pollock fishery has been reported. Herring PSC has also accrued to the yellowfin sole and the rock sole slash flathead sole slash other flatfish fishery categories. The National Marine Fisheries Service is monitoring these fisheries and will issue closures to the applicable herring savings areas if the PSC limits are reached. Currently in the Aleutian Islands, 4,321 metric tons of Pacific cod, or 35% of the 12,320 metric ton non-CDQ total allowable catch has been reported caught. In the Bering Sea, 95,819 metric tons of Pacific cod, or 96% of the 99,464 metric tons of non-CDQ total allowable catch has been reported caught. National Marine Fisheries Service closed directed fishery for non-CDQ Pacific cod in the Bering Sea September 17th. The National Marine Fisheries Service closed directed fishery for Kamchatka flounder on July 19th. All flatfish species catch is lower in 2021 than 2020, except for flathead sole. The largest decreases are for yellowfin sole and rock sole. In total, 148,596 metric tons of total flatfish have been caught this year, compared to 189,891 metric tons for 2020.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard-accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska fishermen and their families. AMC at amsea.org or 907-747-3287. Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.